You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Normally I'm scotching, but
tonight
just felt like I needed something a little more refreshing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have Scott Spearing either.
Yeah, he's a bad influence.
He's so funny. He's just too funny.
Just wondering if he's broken it to Chrissy that their marriage is null and void because they hadn't had Celebration played at their wedding reception.
I don't think he would ever do that.
He'd have to tell her that.
I think Chrissy would probably kick his ass. Just saying.
Yep.
Think about the two things that she wanted to be when she was growing up. Yeah, she could do it.
All right, so are we ready to talk Pee Wee?
Yeah, we are. Did you watch it again?
I did. I saw it on. Well, you know what? I'll save it. I'll save that for like when we're official. But okay. Were you going to say anything?
I was, but I think I'll just make it sound really sad, and I'll tell you when I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh well. All right. When we should get started then.
We probably should.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the beat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Brothers is proud to present the story of a guy.
Warning, I'm here.
And his bike.
James Bond kind of stuff.
Together for the first time in their first big movie.
I meant to do that.
I say
we kill it.
Yeah!
In Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Be sure and tell him Large Marge sent ya.
Well,
this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey, y'all.
So Scott decided not to join us because he thought he's going to spend time with his wife and celebrate, you know, their wedding anniversary and go to some sort of Jeep week in Florida and have a good time and have a life. So that's why you're not going to hear his voice on this show. But Rose and I decided, you know, we can have fun without him. And, you know, so if he wants to go off and have, like, you know, a personal life, you know, then fine. Be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to do was I think it's kind of fun for our listeners to hear kind of how we come up with different topic ideas. And at the tail end of our previous recording, Scott had jumped offline. He had a battery issue with his laptop. And then Rose and I stuck around and we tried to decide what it is that we were going to talk about next, knowing that Scott wasn't going to be with us. We knew that it had to be a 1980s topic. But then we started the conversation around we wanted to, like, rewatch something on Netflix that was available. And Rose, you said you wanted something fun and quirky, if I remember right.
I did.
Yeah. And we actually arose with the idea to do Innerspace because we thought that that was still available on Netflix. And then that same night, I discovered that Innerspace, which, you know, the Dennis Quaid, Martin Short, Meg Ryan movie, was no longer available on Netflix. And I was like, damn, I was really looking forward to that. And then so as I was scrolling through the 1980s movies, knowing that it had to be fun and quirky, we arrived to Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
So first off, going back to kind of your guideline for fun and quirky, why were you thinking that? Have we been too serious lately?
No, I was feeling really good. I was coming off of an excellent voice lesson, and I was learning some new stuff, and I grabbed some moments of confidence that I hadn't seen for a while, and I was hitting those notes, you know, those money notes, as my voice teacher tells me, you know, and I was just like kicking ass and taking names every turn. I was like, yep, I'm doing this. Yep, I'm doing that. I want to do this. And I noticed that I very seldom ever had any input in the things that we talked about on the podcast. And with Scott out of the way, I thought this is the perfect opportunity for me to just say, hey, why don't we do this? Let's do something fun and quirky. Let's just set up the pins and knock them down, so to speak.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. So we obviously found fun and quirky in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That is just a perfect way to, you know, to describe that movie. I rewatched it, but what I wanted to tell you was that it was like I didn't get a chance to watch it end to end. So I actually had to watch in three different sessions to get through the movie. And it was just because something always seemed to have come up, and it kind of interrupted my ability to watch it from end to end. So it was like, you know, I got from, you know, one part of it till we got to, like, you know, where Large Marge was, and then I went from Large Marge to, I'm pretty sure just past the Alamo, and then, you know, finally to the very end, you know, when he's watching the movie with Dottie. So, you know, I got to piecemeal my way through it, but it was kind of an interesting journey of, you know, it's like, I want to finish watching this movie, you know, even though I know what happens in the movie because I've seen it before, back in 1980 something. And so it's weird because I've always had this fascination for watching Pee Wee Herman and the Pee Wee Herman show. And I remember there was that HBO special. I think it was HBO. That he had done that was more adult, and I probably shouldn't have seen it when I was younger, but I did anyway. Thank you, you know, for my mom not putting any kind of adult filter on, you know, the the TV. But yeah, it was just he's such a his delivery of being so awkward and weird and fun. Paul Reubens was just the man.
Oh yeah.
So what about you? What your viewing of Pee-wee this movie this time around? How did that go for you?
Well, you know, I honestly didn't get a chance to watch it in its entirety. I knew it was on Netflix, and I thought, okay, my weeks are so long. My days, my work days are so long. There was no way I'd be able to cram a movie in, and then into any of those days last week. And my goal was to watch it this weekend. Well, Friday night was absolutely out of the question, because the minute I get myself ready to watch something on TV, it ultimately the whole week just starts to weigh on me. And next thing I know, I'm falling asleep and I've missed half of what I'm watching. Yesterday, I wasn't doing anything important, which probably wouldn't have been a perfect day to do it. But today was the day that I decided to watch it. And I went to go turn it on. And Netflix is, you know, showing me the preview, the trailer. And I'm like, okay, this is great. Just press play. And I get a disclaimer, but Netflix can't stream this at this time because Netflix had a problem with your payments. And I'm like, oh crap.
Aww.
Oh, don't tell me I forgot to pay Netflix. Shit. I did. And I was like, surely it's gotta be somewhere else. And so I looked on Prime and they wanted $4 for it. You know, I was just like, yep, still got $4 for that. And then I thought, YouTube, maybe? Well, there's this little app or channel on YouTube called Movie Clips. And I ended up watching 10 movie clips just to refresh my memory, because I'd seen it so many times with my kids in the 80s. And so I started with a Large Marge clip, and then I worked my way in a circle. And I went back to one, and then two, and then, you know, it was 10 altogether. And then there was other parts that they didn't really focus on in the clips, you know, like the bar scene and the dinosaur where the, you know, she's at the cafe and he's talking with,
Simone.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then I even watched a short interview with Paul Rubens. I believe this is 20 years after the fact, they were talking about how he got his idea for Pee Wee Herman. So that was actually kind of fun. I liked listening to that because he was improv, kind of a stand-up comic when he first started. And kind of funny how he got his idea for Pee Wee Herman. So.
Can you elaborate?
Oh, sure. He had a lot of characters that he did in his, on the show. I can't remember what, comedy, club that he was at. There was, quite a few, but this one in particular he was at, and he did, a lot of different characters. And, he said he based Pee Wee Herman on an actual person. He said, I can't tell you his first name. He says, but his last name's Herman. And he was kind of obsessive compulsive as a kid. He was kind of like obsessive compulsive. And he says, and he probably had, what's that thing that everybody has nowadays? ADD.
Yeah. Attention deficit disorder.
That's exactly how he said it. He says, yeah. He says, so it was just like, you know, he's like hyper and bouncing off the walls and he's just all over the place, he said. And he says, I got the idea for the movie from watching Disney's Pollyanna. He says, I wanted to like take that and like completely rewrite it and put a male in that role and have, you know, if anybody had ever seen the movie, you know, Pollyanna played by Haley Mills is always very upbeat and positive. And, you know, she always looked at the silver lining on, you know, every cloud and all of that. And he said that he started writing it and it just wasn't meshing. It just wasn't pulling together. And there's a lot more to this. I don't know if you want me to keep going or not, but he got the idea while he's in the studio and he's on the lot, the movie at Warner Brothers, and he's writing. He's got some people writing for him. I think Phil Hartman was helping him write and a couple of other people. And he said every time I would go to lunch, he said, I always saw all these people are on the studio lot riding these bicycles. And he says, just like everybody. I was like, what are you going to do in this town to get a bicycle? And he told his manager managed to find him like this orange 1940s Schwinn racer or something like that. And he had it while he was at lunch. They brought it to where he was riding and they put like a little sign outside that said, you know, Paul Rubens, you know, parks here and put the bicycle there. And then it just, he said it was like a light bulb. It's just like, bam, that's what the movie's about. The movie's about this amazing bicycle, and somebody steals it. So he says, so basically I ran back upstairs, he says, and this is before, you know, computers, kids. So he says, I ran upstairs, I ripped out the page that was in the IBM Selectric typewriter, and I just started shredding the hell out of it. And he's like, okay, this is how it's going to go, you know. And he ended up, you know, writing. I think it took him like 6 weeks for him, you know, and the other writers, you know, to get a script and, you know, a story. Then they had to find the director. So how he found Tim Burton was just, you know, like one of those parties like you go to.
Yeah.
You know, the Hollywood parties where everybody's like mingling and name dropping and everything. Because he asked Warner Brothers, he says, I need a director for you. He's like, so they sent him like this massive manuscript that had 200 names of directors that they used in any of their movies. And he went through every single, I don't like that guy and blah, blah, blah. So they said, well, here, we'll find you somebody. And they found a director that he'd seen two of his movies. He didn't care for him. And he's like, they're putting the pressure on him to say yes. And he's like, give me a week. And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll give you a week, and you're still going to pick who we say you're going to pick, kind of a thing. And so he goes to this party, and he's like grilling everybody. Who's the best director in Hollywood right now that's doing unusual and fantastic movies that isn't, you know, common, you know, with the studios? And somebody said, there's this guy, Tim Burton. He just did this movie called Frankenweenie. As a matter of fact, the lady said, Shelley Duvall was in it. You should call Shelley and ask her about it. So he did. Shelley said, the guy's amazing. It would totally fit. Takes the name back to Warner Brothers. Says, this is who I want. And they're just like, no, we're not calling him. He turns down everything that we give him. So he's like, yeah, you're just going to pick our guy. So he goes to his manager and he says, you got to call this guy. And he pitched it. The manager called, pitched it like 15 minutes. Tim Burton said, hell yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, whoa. So much for the studio knowing, you know, better than the actual writer. So I thought that was a pretty cool story.
Yeah, and Tim does quirky great.
Oh, he is the master of quirky.
Yeah, so I could see how, you know, if he got, you know, the phone call and, you know, got the overview of this, you know, the story, I could see the probably the excitement there, you know, like, yeah, I could totally do something with that. Yeah. And, you know, just the scenes like when Pee-wee is having his nightmares about his bikes getting ruined by like clowns and Francis who looks like the devil, you know, and that's Tim Burton's signature.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. It had a lot of those great elements that you got to appreciate from a Tim Burton film. That was a great call. It was a great call to use him.
Absolutely.
So with the close that you did see, Maybe we go this way. Was there a favorite scene or sequence from the movie?
There's just so many. You know, it's just... I gotta pull it up because I don't want to butcher anybody's names and go, oh, that guy that was in that thing that did stuff. You know how I get.
Yeah, homeboy from...
homeboy from... did that movie.
Homeboy
Because there's so many really good actors in there. And the one that I... Elizabeth Daly, who played Dottie, I just loved her because she was in Better Off Dead. She sang the title song for Better Off Dead.
Okay.
When the three of them went to the dance.
Right, right.
And she was up there and she was singing. And she did a lot of movies like that in the 80s where she just mainly... was like the entertainment, the character that did entertainment. But she was, I guess it would have been the magnetism of the hold he had on her. You know, and it just seems so far-fetched. I mean, here she is, this gorgeous girl, you know, and she works in a bicycle shop and she's really good at what she does. And she's just like completely enamored with Pee Wee. And you're going, no, I don't get it. You say so. But it is all right. You know, I guess it's opposites attract. I'll just say that. And she's trying to ask him to go to the drive-in with her, and he's all like, you know, I like you, Dottie. Like, I like you. You know? And he's telling
and
her.
And she's sitting there trying to argue with him, like, you know. I know you do. That's why we should go to a movie.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, you know, he's telling her he's a rebel and a lone wolf and all this stuff. And there's things about me that you don't know. There's things about me that you... couldn't know. There's things about me you shouldn't know. Yep. You know, and I just like, I don't understand. I think. She goes, I don't understand. It's like, well, yeah, nobody got that one either. But, yeah, so that's probably one of my favorite parts, that one and the breakfast scene. The very opening when they're doing the breakfast.
Yeah.
And he does the pity the fool.
The Mr. T cereal, yeah.
Mr. T cereal. Pity the poor fool that don't eat my cereal. Like, no, he didn't. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so on your comments, Elizabeth Daly, shout out to her for being in Valley Girl. So I remember her from that. Wonderful actress. I've always enjoyed, you know, the things that she's been in, and she's been in a buttload. I even remember her briefly, I think in Streets of Fire, if I remember right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, she was Diane Lane's kind of like sidekick.
Right. Right.
Yep.
So yeah, she's been in a lot of these great movies. And you know, this was one that gave her a little more substance of a role. Mm-hmm. And she played it really well. She played, you know, the like you said, you know, a beautiful woman that, you know, just had this innate ability to, like, fix bikes or whatever it is. And so that's probably the reason why she wasn't, like, you know, part of this uber, you know, part of the uber popular crowd. But, you know, at the same time, that's probably why she's, you know, gets involved with a guy like Pee Wee, you know, because she's kind of got her own quirks.
Yeah, definitely.
But going back to your what you were talking about, and that was going to be my favorite scene or sequence, was the breakfast sequence. Yeah. I mean, talk about an elaborate setup to get, like, just to get, what was it, pancakes, eggs, and bacon. And then he has, like, the little face that he talks to. He's like, good morning, Mr. Breakfast.
You know? Don't forget the pterodactyl skeleton that puts his toast in the toaster.
Yeah, and then the thing that squeezed the orange juice, and then
which is clearly not an orange.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like a Nerf ball.
Yeah, true. If I could squeeze something to get that much juice out of something, yeah, you know, it's like
I'm doing something wrong.
I'm going to start a juice bar.
But he's got this whole elaborate setup. He's got this whole Doc Brown kind of setup to get his, you know, his meal onto a plate. And then he pours a Mr. T cereal on top of it. He has maybe 3 pieces of it, and then he's done. Mm-hmm. He moves on.
I know. That drives me nuts. I'm like, are you kidding? You just smothered perfectly good bacon and eggs and pancakes under all that sugary cereal. It'd take 3 bites, and then you're done. Not to mention, Speck has a gigantic bowl of food. I'm like, where did you find that tiny little dog? He can't eat all that food.
Oh, my God. It just reminded me of when Speck, when he's like arguing with him on the phone. I know, Speck. I know. I'm sorry.
Like, how does a dog answer the phone? I'm sure there's some kind of lever or something.
But no, I mean, Dottie was like, you know, she was taking care of him while he was at, while he went to the Alamo, right? So, but obviously he'd forgotten to get care for Speck, and so Speck was obviously mad with him on the phone. But, you know, it's like a conversation like you're having with Groot from, like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, where he just says, I am Groot, and you got a little dog barking, and obviously he understands. It's like Chewbacca, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, you're right, I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, such a great, you know, I just, the brains behind all of that. And you know no one's done anything since, and I dare someone to come up with something that has been that imaginative. You know, short of Weird Al and UHF, in case anybody's out there listening, shy, don't you dare, don't send me those devil eyes. But you know what I'm saying? It's something that's family friendly, and I'm not talking about the Forbidden Zone either. You know, that's funny and imaginative and inventive, and there's got all these, I guess it would be probably anything that the Muppets have ever done. You know, because you have all of these cameos. You know, the Muppets were great for that, for their movies. You know, they're always on an adventure. They're always getting mixed up and stuff. Somebody was out to get them or trying to get them to do something they didn't want to do. You know what I mean? And it wasn't animated. It was live action. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. There's a lot of work that goes into all those props and, you know, the bicycle, you know, scenes were, these BMX trick riders, you know, in the park. I mean, I think those were actually, I don't know, it sounds stupid, but they were real. I think these are actually real trick riders or BMX. You know, that's what they did.
Right.
And, you know, they're all standing around in the bike shop and they're teasing them about Dottie. And, you know, they've got these, you know, jumpsuits on or whatever you call them. You know,
every time you saw those kids, they had those things on. Like, they were ready to go put a show on.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder if any of that was, like, included at first, but then the movie got too long, so they took some of it out.
Yeah.
You know, but they had a lot going on. There was just so much happening. You know, and every character had something to bring to the table. As a matter of fact, speaking of which, I'm looking right here at IMDb, I don't know why, I just don't look for myself. The guy that was the butler for Francis and his dad, wasn't he from a James Bond movie?
Oh yeah. Probably, you're probably thinking of the guy that did the hat.
Tori Tanaka.
Yeah. Let's see. We got IMDb open.
He's been in a lot of stuff. Last Action Hero, Three Ninjas, Dragnet, Martial Law, Black Rain.
Wow. He's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see anything specific, but...
Running Man, that was on. I didn't get to see it. But yeah, he was in, I want to like scroll all the way to the bottom to find him. And I thought he was in like, I want to say GoldenEye. He was in something that was James Bond, or maybe I'm thinking of something else. I know I've seen him in other things.
Yeah, he's definitely been in a lot of other TV shows.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, he's probably typecast quite a bit, it looks
I'm
like.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a lot of stuff. Just to see him, you know, when he's breaking the door down, and then Francis ends up opening the door, and he flies into the swimming pool, bathtub, whatever that thing is. It's just like, dude, who didn't see that coming?
Oh, wow. What a bathtub.
I know. He's got all the submarines and warships and all kinds of stuff.
Now,
he was a smidge.
Now, I really, I think Francis, Mark Holton, he was wonderful to hate.
He was.
He played, you know, jerk asshole kid to the nines.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch him, you know, just get really snooty. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, well, you wouldn't have gotten into this situation if it wasn't for me, and now they're making a movie, so we're friends.
Yeah. 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 And then he says, you know, when they get into the I call it a pissing contest at the beginning, where he's like, today's my birthday, Pee-wee. And my daddy says, I can have anything I want. So guess what I want for my birthday? And he's like, I don't know, a new brain. He's like, no, your bike. And he falls on the ground. He's laughing. And then they get into, I know you are, but what am I? I know, you know. And it's just like, these are grown men. You know, there's like no stretch of the imagination that you're going to make these men any younger than they are. And yet, this is, you know, this is their behavior level, which I think Pee-wee kind of needed that. He needed somebody who was a little odd and, you know, defiant and unusual like him. You know, that he was the perfect nemesis for Pee-wee. Because it wouldn't have made sense if he would have been somebody like, you know, that was, I don't want to say normal because that's a horrible word to use, but someone that wasn't like him. You know what I'm saying? That
makes sense. Well, it was like almost on the same maturity level.
Yes, but he definitely needed that.
Yes, yeah, so they were playing to the same maturity level, but just a one was you know, ultra good, and one was ultra bad, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a good yin yang kind of duality of the same, you know, mm-hmm. of that same mental, you know, capacity, if you will.
Right.
And Mark played it so well. And I would love to have known if, you know, when they're like getting themselves prepared and they're rehearsing and all that, if, you know, there's like Pee-wee going, no, you gotta, you know, dial it up a little bit and act a little more juvenile. Or did Mark just come to the stage that way and say, this is the way we're doing this.
Yeah. Or just, you know, pick like the most annoying kid that you could possibly think of in your neighborhood as a child.
Yeah.
Just do him or her. You know, that's got to be your motivation. I have to stop here for a sec.
Okay. Sorry.
I need to
blow your nose.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I heard you sneeze. Bless you, by the way.
Thank you. I'll be with you in a moment.
Okay. All right, listeners, talk amongst yourselves. This is Coffee Talk. We're talking Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure. Go ahead, discuss. So, listener, this is the part where you get to hear random thoughts by Dave. Large Marge, was she really there or was she not? Give us your thoughts. What about that Jan Hooks playing Tina? She was fun. Or not. Kind of annoying. Hello.
Hi. I liked Jan. I'm glad you remember who she was, because she was one of my favorite SNL cast members. And when they made her, you know, she was just so you know. Perky. Yeah, please save all of your questions for the end of the tour. Thank you. You know. He's like, but I was, thank you. Like, shut up.
Everybody say adobo.
I know. Can you all say adobe? Oh, do I hear someone's stomach growl? I'm just like, oh my God. Think of like all the tours that you were on in like whatever museum or whatever. whatever you've been on in a needed a tour, you know, that was like every tour guide ever. Except maybe the accent. Oh, do you have any Mexican Americans with us today? Oh, buenos dias! Oh my God! Oh, you're in Texas, chick! You do realize Mexico is like right across the street. And just stuff like that, that just, you know, I don't know, just hysterical. Just too funny.
And then the hobo guy, you know, sitting there and singing and then spitting in his face. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.
Corn, I don't care. Yes. Corn and I don't care. And Pee Wee jumps off the train. Ah! Oh my gosh. I got a little worried. Go ahead.
And then Large Marge, you know, the whole, you know, everybody in that diner is like, you know, starts to recount the whole story that she gave. You know, it was a night just like tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, and it creepy, you know, but then that's Tim Burton, you know?
Yeah.
That's a, you know, his signature move in there was just adding a creepy element in the middle of, you know, something juvenile and funny.
Yeah. Especially when she's in the truck and she's telling him, and when they pull the driver's body from that twisted, mangled wreck, it looked just like this. Like, ah! I think I would have screamed a lot louder than that. That would have been like, whoa! Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, towards the end of the movie, when they were making his story kind of the Hollywood James Bond kind of thing, you know, the James Brolin, Morgan Fairchild, that was pretty really, that was really well done and very comical at the same time, you know, where they were using some of those lines and, you know, she's like, well, don't you want to stay and see the rest of the movie? He goes, I don't have to watch it. I lived it.
I know. Yeah, that's kind of a neat ending for that.
Yep. PW.
PW Herman.
Yep.
And
don't forget, shout out to Twisted Sister for being in it, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was just, I remember seeing that movie for the first time, and I'm thinking, that Twisted Sister, holy crap.
That seemed very random to me.
It did. It did. And nothing to the fact that, you know, they're just coming out or how long they'd been out on the scene. But they definitely were popular then.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, I wonder how many other bands they asked. Or maybe that's who he requested. I don't know. You know, because they had to have, you know, because Mel Blanc used to do stuff like that. They, you know, when they would have like random scenes where they were doing things and all of a sudden, you know, you'd see somebody singing or dancing or whatever. And just, it was pretty random. And I think it was meant to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, they were throwing so much out at into the movie. It was like, mm-hmm. you know, what else can we throw in here? Okay, we're going to have a guard taking, you know, driving a boat, chasing him on his bike. Okay, mm-hmm. then we're going to add Santa Claus. Now we're going to add Godzilla.
Yeah, that was fun. I like that one. So and then somehow they all end up in the same place.
Yeah. And then, you know, the whole thing ends with the climactic version of him having to save all the animals from the pet store.
Oh, I know.
It's like, how random can this get, you know?
I know. Is the one where he's... Is that where he... the last bit was the snakes, wasn't it?
Yeah, he passes it. He's passing everything up. Yeah.
Yeah.
He frees the monkey first, and he's like, here, you can help me. And, yeah. And then, you know, they free the dogs, they free the birds, you know, they have little ducks, and he's like escorting them all out. So each time he goes through, he's, you know, helping them get to the front door, and then he lets them run away. You know, and every time he goes back in, he passes by the snake, the snake thing, he just gives that face like, no, I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
And he does everything. He even saves a goldfish. And then finally he's like, all right, I've got to do this now. Uh-huh. And he walks out screaming with the snakes.
Yeah, and then he just falls over.
Yep.
Probably, you know, because of all the smoke and then the fear of the snakes. And it's just too funny. That's just so much going on. You know, just so much.
Alright, so is there any of this movie that, I mean, we jumped all over the place, so is there anything that you wanted to make sure we covered before we kind of wrap this?
There was one scene in it that I really didn't care for.
Okay.
And only because I thought maybe they spent just a little bit too much time on it, and that was the scene with him in the car with Jimmy Smith, and Pee-wee dresses up as a girl. I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's just that it just seems a little kind of, and like nothing there else was far-fetched, but you know, for that, and then, you know, Jimmy Smith, you know, kind of looks over at him, you know, cause he's feeling good cause he got away. And then he looks over at Pee-wee and he's like, you know, gets that look on his face, and I'm like, oh, no. No. That's where his scene stops, right here. We're not having any of that. And then he basically calls himself on it, and he says, yeah, I think you better find another way to get to the Alamo or something, and he said, because I didn't, like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing over, but I was like, phew! For a minute there, because I'd seen some of his early stuff. You know, a lot of the things that he did in the HBO specials. And, you know, a lot of them were pretty risque. So I thought, I was honestly waiting. Because I never mentioned this before, but I'm going to tell you now. When I saw the shows that he did and the little shorts and things that he did on HBO, and then they said he was making a movie, I thought, holy crap. Seriously? And so I watched it with my kids, thinking, okay, well, this may not exactly be a kid's movie, just so you know. Because I honestly was expecting those elements to be involved in the movie. And I was... Every turn, I'm going, okay, something weird's going to happen. He's going to say something, some sexual innuendo. You know, and they did in a way, but it wasn't quite as drastic as I thought it was going to be. So I was really surprised that he went through, like, the whole movie, you know, until he got to that point, which really wasn't that awful. But you know what I'm saying? It was just kind of like, oh, no. And, then it was like, oh, okay, so this is like a regular movie. Okay. I thought this was going to be something. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to be kind of, I don't know, more offbeat than it was.
Yeah,
his stuff on HBO.
Yeah, I remember, I remember what you're talking about with the scene where he's... They're escaping. But the actor, though, for that one is Judd Omen, not Jimmy Smith.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So,
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I was like, no, I don't remember Jimmy Smith being in the movie, but
But yeah, that was Mickey, the mm-hmm. escape convict.
Yes.
But yeah, there was that, that weird kind of vibe there where it was kind of like, you know, the way I interpreted it, and maybe that's because of my, you know, my younger perspective, was just that, you know, he is like, this guy kind of annoys the hell out of me, but I'm dealing with him because he's helping me get, you know, means to an end, you know, getting me mm-hmm. free.
Yeah.
But, you know, and when he kind of embraces that, you know, oh, the quirkiness that is Pee-wee, you know, mm-hmm. then, oh, okay, now I can appreciate this guy for what he is, you know, and
yeah.
to me, that was what that moment was. Okay. So I didn't read too much into it other than that.
Yeah, I read way too much into that.
But given the background that you mentioned and uh-huh. kind of what you got from those HBO specials and where there was, you know, adult-toned humor mm-hmm. in it, yeah, heavy yeah. adult-toned humor in it, yeah. You were expecting that. You were expecting that mm-hmm. to kind of happen in this movie, and I remember there was like conversations where he's like he's talking to Simone and he's like, well, let's talk about your big butt, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just, you know, it's a fun line, but it wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, sure it was put in there as a way of kind of giving a risque kind of thing, a nod to mm-hmm. it, but it yeah. wasn't like over the top.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, see, that I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I didn't think, you know, I was actually expecting that because there was a couple of times where he did, you know, the play on words, so to speak, in the movie, and I thought that was cute. But yeah, so I was still thinking, like I said, waited till the very, very end, and it was just endearing. Is this very endearing?
Yeah, I something else that I think is important to give a moment shout out to is the dance scene where he puts on those big shoes and he's dancing on the bar.
Tequila. I know.
And the you know, suddenly he turns all the bikers, you know, and you know they're all these rough, tough guys, and then you know it just took him doing this very crazy dance moment, but mm-hmm. they weren't really buying it until he started breaking stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh yeah, he's cool, he's awesome, he's one of us. And yeah. I think they're called the Satan's Helpers, if I remember.
Probably. So, I can't remember either.
Yeah, it's like, all right guys, you're just starving for somebody to kind of gravitate towards.
Yeah.
But it's funny, but it that, you know, stuff. They give him one of their leather cuts and then lets him ride off in one of their bikes. It's just like, all right, man, whatever it takes to become part of the gang.
Oh, I know. And at the end when he's got the stuff from the concession stand.
Yep.
He takes what he's going to give him and Dottie, and he throws the rest of it up in the air so they can all fight over it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do that. wild and woolly folks.
Oh, now how come I didn't notice this before?
I don't know.
Do you remember a biker mama in this thing?
Biker mama. Maybe.
I just watched it and I don't remember a biker mama. And the reason why I bring it up is because I'm looking at IMDb, and that's Elvira, Cassandra Peterson.
No way!
So how come I'm not picturing Biker Mama? And I've got to Google this.
I wonder if they cut her. Pee-wee. I don't. It depends on whether she was, you know, heavily made up. Because honestly, would you look at this woman and say this is Elvira?
Oh, okay. Okay, so in that scene where they're like, first let's, you know, we're going to kill him, and then we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then the one, yeah. there's a lady that comes up and goes, let me have him before you kill him.
Yeah.
That was her.
That was her.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I had no idea before this very moment that that was Elvira.
Yeah.
That's awesome. See, there you go. It gave me another reason to love this movie.
See, there you go. I love Elvira. Well, I love Cassandra Peterson, but
yeah.
Her character is Elvira's. And I'm glad she revamped it, too.
She's awesome. That's kind
of, yeah, she is.
Don't think that we had anything else to add here.
I don't think so either. I don't know if you ever, you know, because once you have something like this, you know there's going to be outcries for a sequel. And I'll be damned if they didn't do it with Big Top Pee Wee. But I didn't really care for that one. I don't know why. It just felt kind of forced.
Yeah, and I've seen it, but I don't remember any details from it.
Yeah, me neither.
And so that's one of those things where Pee-wee's Big Adventure has stuck with me
mm-hmm.
through all this time. But yes. You're right. It was like a sequel that, you know, it was out there, and I know I've seen it. I mean, I'm sure I've seen it. I just don't remember a thing about it.
Yeah, I know Penelope Ann Miller says that she played Winnie. And then Kris Kristofferson's in it. Valerie Golino is in it. There's a bunch of people that were in it. I don't know. I think I saw it once. I was kind of excited. And my kids and I, we rented it and watched it. And they were like, meh. They probably shouldn't have done that. But hey, sometimes you have to... I don't know.
So, a small-town Dude. Farmer with a fiancé, but when a traveling circus comes to town, he finds himself falling for the trapeze artist. Yeah, even now, that's still... Just reading the synopsis does not get me any closer to remembering it that much.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then they did the one that they came out with a couple years ago, Pee-wee's Big Holiday. That was kind of cute.
Yeah, You actually recommended that I watch that back then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it made me smile, mainly because it was, you know, reminiscent of the original, and he really hadn't changed much, but he was able to get out of his comfort zone and go and do amazing things and meet all these quirky people. Like the first one, but he was kind of forced to do it in the first one. And then, you know, with this one, the Big Holiday, he kind of was going to visit his friend in Hollywood or something. I can't remember where the guy said he lived, but was inviting him to his birthday party or something. So I saw it like last year.
Yeah, I know I've seen it on the listings for Netflix, but I just haven't committed time to watching it.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, it moves pretty fast.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
To me, though, because I've got the thing that I've yet to watch, it almost feels like I can't put this as a priority over that.
No, you can't. The Scott will never speak to you ever again.
So it'll be on the, you know, I'm going to get to it one day, but
yeah.
I've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, you do. we should plan a trip and we all just meet in one general place and then we'll just all sit down and watch the thing.
That works for me. What are we doing this Halloween? Let's do it.
What are we doing this Halloween? Yeah, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the perfect time to watch something like that?
That would be perfect, actually, yeah.
Do a retro horror marathon.
Yep. Five. Five retro horror marathon.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would totally be awesome.
It sounds like we're kind of wrapping things up with Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The only thing that I didn't confess yet is that for the longest time, part of my
collection of stuff that I had. I actually had the Pee Wee Herman doll still in the wrapper, and it was the one that when you pulled the cord and he would use, you know, some of his catchphrases from the TV show. And over the course of years of just having this thing, the box had gotten really kind of bent and kind of damaged, but I never took it out of the box. And the sound chip, I guess, whatever you call it, that after you pull the string and it gets really, really raw, you know, so it was kind of kind of turned into something like that. And I ended up just getting rid of it. Maybe just a few years back. So I had this thing for, you know, having this doll as part of the collection because Pee-wee was just a big part of my, you know, 80s life, you know, because of, you know, his show, the HBO special, this movie. I was a fan from back then, and I loved Quirky, you know, and he served that up, you know, on a big silver platter. So I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed the meal he was giving me.
Yeah.
Any parting thoughts on Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
If you've never seen it, watch it, because it's definitely an event. And it'll leave a lasting impression on you.
That it
just
will.
The simplicity of, you know, a boy's love for his bicycle.
It's something that I had started to realize, that his outfit in Buckaroo's, in the final scene from Buckaroo Banzai, very similar. You know, the red bow tie and, you know, the gray suit.
Yeah.
Just had to throw that out there.
Nice. That's a shout out.
All right. So
who's shouting out who? There you go.
Buckaroo.
Buckaroo.
This is part where we like to remind everybody how to get a hold of us if you need to, and that's through our website. We have this thing at BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiRetroClub.com. On that website, there's ways to do things like leave us a voicemail message, which we'd love to get from you, or drop us an email. We have on the Contact Us page, there's ways to send individual emails to all of us, or if you want to send a group email to all three co-hosts, including Scott, Rose, myself, that's McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com. The other thing that's at the bottom of the main page from our website is we have links to our social media endeavors. So Instagram, something that I've been playing with lately. But we've got the Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got Tumblr. So all those links are available there for your convenience. Also at the same bottom of the page, there is this thing called Patreon. What we're going to be doing is anybody that chooses to give us a little something, something to help us keep the lights on for, running the podcast, you know, through, you know, a monetary, gift of some sort. We're going to be providing exclusive content, as kind of like a special bonus as a thank you for that kind of, thing. And that's going to be a lot of the conversations that we have that don't get actually posted online, for everyone else. So this would be kind of our, pre and post chat conversations that sometimes involve retro and sometimes it doesn't, but, if you've gotten used to us and you like us, then hopefully that's something that you'd be interested in hearing. The other thing that we have that we'd like you to do is if you got one of those fancy newfangled iPhone devices, there's this thing called a review. We'd like you to do that. Rose will give you a little more info.
Yeah, we have this thing now. I don't know if we have it today, but we just started doing a shout out, review shout outs to people that have left reviews on iTunes. So if you don't know how to go about doing that, you need to have an iPhone or have iTunes or an Apple product would do. That would automatically give you iTunes, I think. And then you find our podcast and you subscribe to our podcast and then you review our podcast, and then us being the nice folks that we are, we'll just go ahead and read your review on the air during the podcast and give you a shout out, just because we can. And it doesn't take a lot of time. So if you don't like something that we did, you got to call us on it. And if you do like something we did, we like that too. So thank you for listening, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, what I was trying to do was bring up to see if there was any other reviews that we can quickly do a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. From Viper 1985, great show. These guys know awesome retro topics.
Cool. Thanks, Viper.
Yeah. Goose 1982, love this show. Great listening. Fun retro.
Thanks, Goose.
RSR 1982. This show is a groovy ride down memory lane. Any child of the 70s, 80s, or 90s should hop on board, buckle up, and enjoy the ride. Great show that evokes great memories.
Thank you very much.
Oh, hey. We actually do have a brand new review.
Oh.
And this actually was just posted last Thursday. This is by Chichi K. Gomez. Who's one of the Friday Night Movie podcast co-hosts. She writes, such a great podcast about awesome retro movies. I often feel that they need to insert myself in the convo, even though they can't hear me. Or can they? ? Love that. That is an so awesome review.
Thank you, Chichi.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part also that I'd like to remind everybody, just be excellent to each other. Just a golden rule, treat each other like you want to be treated, be nice, be kind, all that kind of good jazz. And since we have no idea when you're going to be listening to this thing, have a good whatever.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Yeah, you know, I like it when we have more episodes, like, in the can, kind of ready.
Yeah.
Because I was prepping the one we did for the 1991 album, and you know, since we recorded them back to back from the 71 TV shows, you know, it was like, oh, that's cool, because now we got 70s and now we got the 80s right here. So I mean, this thing's really not going to post for, you know, another three, you know what, yeah, because tomorrow will be 90s and then like, you know, 3 weeks from now.
Yeah. So
it's kind of nice to be ahead of the game, and we don't have that, you know, that, gotta record, gotta do this. Or, I hate when it turns into a gotta.
Yeah, mad frantic dash to get something done.
Right.
Yeah.
But what we should do the next time we converse is do the 80s montage thing that Scott had talked about before that we want to do as a crossover.
Okay.
So, I feel that that should be our next topic for the three of us.
And refresh my memory, exactly what is that?
Well, it's like, you know, I was looking at it as top three, but, pick your, let's say retro in general, not just 80s, but just, a montage scene from any movie.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever is memorable for you, you know, that, be a kick-ass song or just be a, just a wonderful insertion of, you know, a great movie or a bad movie, whatever. I take either good or bad. but yeah, that's kind of the you know, the thought process behind that topic.
Cool. I like that. That is definitely different.
Yeah. I think, you know, you could throw a very light stone and, you know, come up with like good ideas where, you know, like through Karate Kid or Rocky or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. but then there's so many other movies that use that formula, you know, Revenge of the Nerds. Mm-hmm. You know, that all fun stuff. So it'd be fun to
pretty insane.
Yeah, to kind of go back in the memory bank and say, you know, which of these are, you know, do I really want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
we'll have to throw that out there to Scott. Oh. Make sure he's on board to talk about that next.
Oh, I'm sure he will be.
Yeah, well, it was his idea, so.
Yeah, well. Yep. Let's just put it this way. He better be.
Yeah, he better not be taking another break.
Oh, no. More breaks for him.
All right. Actually, I need to go get my dress shirts out of the dryer.
All right. Well, thanks so much. We had a great night.
Yep. Good talking with you.
Yeah, you take care of yourself.
Yep, you have a good rest of your week.
Thanks, and you too.
Get some recording in.
Yeah, I'm seriously contemplating.
All right.
All right.
Just do it.
I don't hear any dogs barking, so I'm good.
Good enough.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.